Hello and welcome to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that today's message will inspire you to grow in your journey of faith. We believe that hope is for everyone. So, no matter where you find yourself on your journey of faith, we believe Jesus is willing to meet you right where you're at. So again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Just kidding. I'm just teasing. Hey, you got 20 minutes in you? Because I got a word for you today, okay? So we're going to get right to it. Haggai chapter 2, verse 10 through 23. If you've been tracking with us, you know that we've been in a series that we've labeled, Get Ready, We Are Building. And I don't know if you know this, if you've noticed, but God's building a beautiful church. I don't know if you know this, but God is building people. He is building a new generation. He is building amazing things, and here's his promise to us, that what he is building, not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. And so let me just read to you this very long segment of scripture that I'm just going to preemptively tell you might feel confusing, and I hope that you walk out of here not exhausted, but hopefully with some hope in your heart and a little bit of oomph in your spirit and a little bit of skip in your step to continue to build with the Lord. And it says this, that on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. By the way, if you haven't been with us, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the last three sermons that we've preached on the book of Haggai. It'll bring you up to speed. But it says this, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests about the law. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priests answered and said, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? And the priests answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands. And what they offer me is unclean. Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord, how did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. I struck you and all the products, of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, considered, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive oil have yielded nothing. But from this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth. Come on. And to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots of their riders, and the horses and their riders shall go down, everyone by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. Father, I thank you now, because you're going to miraculously help me preach a 40-minute sermon in 10 minutes. I pray you open up our hearts and open up our minds and our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever taken a simple task and absolutely complicated it? And you lose time and time again over and over, and only to realize there was a simple and quick answer to this. How many overthinkers out there? Come on. How many of you have looked at a task and because maybe you didn't know the solution, maybe you didn't know the end result, you kind of complicated it, and then along came someone with more wisdom and more understanding and said, oh, all you needed was this. I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, we moved into the house that we're currently in. We had had it built, and I needed to install a utility sink in the garage. And if you know me, you know that I am not a plumber. And I had no idea what I was doing. And so with the minimal tools that I had, I was stripping lines. I was stripping, you know, the nuts and the bolts and everything else, until someone who was wiser and had more knowledge than me said, no, no, this is the tool you need. And within seconds, the simple task was done. Here's what I want to say. Today's text, and if you read through the book of Haggai, this segment in scripture in these two chapters may feel like they're very complicated, may feel a little bit confusing, but here's my hope, is that in about 10 minutes, I can simplify to you. Because if we're going to be talking about building something, if we're going to be understanding that Jesus is not only trying to build something on his own, but he has invited you onto that mission, then we must understand, I think, three key things that we see in this text. Because ultimately, what we read in this text is this, is that God wants your heart, God wants your head, and God wants your hands. And the simplicity of this maybe confusing text comes down to the fact that God wanted the heart of his people, he wanted the head of his people, and in other words, their minds, their thoughts, and he wanted their hands. Now I want to remind you, like we've learned over the last few weeks, that every season is a God season. Yeah. I want to remind you that we are being called to consider our priorities. I want to remind you, as if it's not overly abundantly obvious to us now, that we are to get to it. That we are, as Pastor Nick via video preached to us, we are to be strong, to fear not, to understand that God is with us, as Isaac just beautifully put. That God is with us. I want to remind you that we are called to build brick by brick and that we are building more than we can see. But if we're going to be a people that are building with God, and if we're going to be a people that prioritizes his presence, and we're going to prioritize where he meets his people, then we must understand that he wants our heart, he must have our thoughts, and he must have our hands. And so in the scripture here, we actually see that the people of God had begun building this time, right? They'd finally started, okay, God, we're going to obey you. We've been making our fancy houses. Your house now lays in ruins. We're going to get started. And this time, unlike a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't their fear that stopped them. It wasn't discouragement that halted the building. Pay attention. It was God himself that halts the building with a crucial question. As we build, we've got to understand that God is actually after specific things in our lives as we build. And so, number one, as we look at the fact that God wants our heart, we see that God asks them this question: if someone carries holy meat, Haggai 2:12, in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact with the dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priest answered and said, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with these people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, that what they offer here is unclean. Clean. Here's what we see. What we see is that the people have begun to work on God's house, and they realize that they're building a holy temple for a holy God. And they realize that the building of God's temple is a holy work, which means that they too must be holy and set apart. But here's our mistake. They fall into temptation, believing that their stacking of bricks for a holy temple automatically makes them holy as well. They begin to walk around as if this holy temple that they're working on is so contagious that now holiness is growing on them by mere close contact. In other words, they said, because I'm doing holy work, I too must be holy. Here's my warning to us as we build. As we build and we see exciting things, let us remember that just because we work, just because we do for and with God, does not mean that because of those works, we're now righteous before Him. And it certainly doesn't mean that now there's levels of righteousness before Him, where the person that served a whole week at camp is holier than the one that served in their home all week long. That the person who sends in a check and basically doesn't show up, but at least they send in a check. Religious practices have nothing to do with righteousness when it comes to an unrepentant, unaligned, and defiled heart before God. God is after our hearts. And the trap is actually twofold. Because the people here are falling into the idea that if they just build, God will get off their backs and somehow they'll become righteous. The others are saying, hey, if I build, God's going to see my work, and now I'm an entitled, spoiled brat to His blessings. Yeah. And then we get a vending machine theology. Where, God, if I do enough stuff for You, You scratch my back while I scratch Yours, God. And here's my warning to us as we are living in exciting times, Legacy Church. Yeah. In fact, if you don't know that or feel that, I want to talk to you so I can pray for you so you can come alive again. Because we're in exciting times and God is doing beautiful things. But my warning to us as a church family and church body is that we would not fall into the trap that as we build brick by brick, that we would not lose sight that righteousness and holiness comes from He and He alone. And that we also would not become a people that begin to live a life out of presumptuous faith, of entitlement. I deserve this. God owes me. Because here's the kind of church I don't want us to build, is that 70 years down the road, we look back at today and we go, look at what we did. And when things begin to change and things begin to shift, because newsflash, they do, we go, why are they changing what I built? Let us be the kind of people that understand that as we put in the work, as we build brick by brick, we're not scratching God's back in order for Him to scratch ours. If you haven't heard it yet, here's the two tensions that these people are facing. Legalism and the prosperity gospel. Where if you do it all right, perfectly, you get God off your back. And if you do enough for God, He now owes you one. Let me tell you, your heart determines your motive. Proverbs 4 says that it's where life is found is in your heart. More so, Proverbs 4 says that that's where life flows out of. So I want to say to you, Legacy Church, as we build together, to the extent that your heart is surrendered, submitted, and sold out to Him, your all in will be limited. If you want to go all in, we say words like lean in, all in, build brick by brick. If you want that, we hear about young people going, I'm going to go all in for Jesus. This week impacted me. Well, you will be limited to your all in to the extent that your heart is surrendered, submitted, and sold out to Him. There's a beautiful book out there called Gentle and Lowly, and the author, Dane Orland, says it this way. When the Bible speaks of the heart, whether Old Testament or New, it is not speaking of our emotional life only, but of the central animating center of all that we do. It is what gets us out of bed in the morning and what we daydream about as we drift off to sleep. It is our motivation headquarters, The heart, in biblical terms, is not part of who we are, but the center of who we are. Our heart is what defines and directs us. Number two, our head. Look at how the Message paraphrase says, or describes, Haggai chapter 2, 15 to 17. It says this in the Message translation: think back. Got to use your head. Think back. Before you set out to lay the first foundation stones for the rebuilding of my temple, how did it go with you? Isn't it true that your foot-dragging, half-hearted efforts at rebuilding the temple of God were reflected in a sluggish, halfway return on your crops? Half the grain you were used to getting, half of the wine, I hit you with drought and blight and hail. Everything you were doing got hit, but it didn't seem to faze you. You continued to ignore me, God's decree. Did you know we all have a running narrative? Did you know in your head there's always a running narrative? And my question to you is, what's your running narrative? What's your running narrative? Where does your head go? Where do your thoughts go? Is it, go ahead, just give in. Go ahead, you deserve it. It's okay. Everyone else is doing this. Or is it, woe is me? Oh, look at the cards I've been dealt. Or is it, I'm killing it. Look at the bricks I'm laying. Look at how God is using me for his glory, of course. Amen. Romans 12 says we have an option, that we can either be conformed or transformed. Amen. It says in Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Yeah. Man, I don't have time to fully preach this to you, but here's what I want to say to you. Some of us are too busy, and some of us are too full of our agenda to stop and think back. And think back and look at, what is it that has led us to where we're at today? You know what I want to tell you is this, is reflection is necessary to move forward. And we must have the space and the time and the availability to sit and submit our thoughts to the Lord, because he wants our heart and he wants our head. My friend, I want to remind some of you this morning, remember where you've come from. Think about it. Think back. Come on, those of you that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, and I'm one of those. I gave my life to Christ when I was 9 years old, and my friend, every day I get older. I don't know if you know that. That's a huge revelation. But what I don't want is to ever lose what God has done in my life. I never want to lose sight of when he came and interrupted my life for the good. I don't want to forget about the pits he's dug me out of. I don't want to forget what he has done. And I also don't want to forget the mistakes I've made so that I don't repeat them. But here's the beautiful thing about God, is he doesn't keep us and just think back and stay there. Let me tell you that the definition of insanity, though, is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And I think some of us are continuing to do the same thing in the same way, expecting different results. And I want to tell you, God says, think back. Here's the good news. God doesn't leave us in the rumination of the think about how horrible you are. His grace allows us to move from head realization to now look at what Haggai 2:18 says. Now think ahead. Did you catch that? Now I know you think I'm trying to rush through this sermon, but come on. He goes, think back, and then he doesn't leave you there. You see the goodness of God? Think back and stew on it a bit, kid. No. Within two verses, he now goes, now think ahead. From this same date, this 24th, and he wants you to mark it. He's like, write this down. Think ahead from when the temple rebuilding was launched. Has any of the field, fig tree, pomegranate, olive tree failed to flourish? From now on, you can count on a blessing. Which leads me to my third and final point, and it is a miracle because we're going to end here in about 5 minutes. Because my friend, you've probably heard this in church world before, but please do not dumb it down to just a cute cliche saying. You and I are blessed to be a blessing. And it says, from now on, you can count on a blessing. You and I are blessed to be a blessing, which leads me to my third and final point. Why is that? Because now we're being called from our heart to our head, now to put our hands to the plow. Look at Haggai 2:23. On that day declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. As we learned about last week in a completely unrelated yet related sermon, that a signet ring identified identity and belonging, God's sovereign presence and authority. Did you catch that? The blessing of God means you and I have identity and belonging. And when you hear me, and when I have identity and I belong somewhere, hear me on this, I also then am given a purpose. And when I'm given a purpose, I'm actually expected to put my hands to the plow for that purpose. Come on, I want to tell you this morning that you, my friend, were made for beautiful things. That you, my friend, were made for good works. I'm telling you that just as the psalmist says, he has prepared your hands for battle, your hands have work to do. You, much like, man, I love how Isaac pre-preached my sermon this morning. I don't care who you are, God's called you to something, and he's going to prepare your hands because your hands are needed for his work.
Yes, amen. That's right.
Now, I got to tell you this. Sadly, in my experience in the church world, those people in church, not outside of church. I'm going to talk to church people that demand the most usually are willing to give the least. I have found that those that are easily disgruntled, those that are easy divisive, those that are easy, quick to critique, to criticize, are usually those that are willing to do the least. And I want you to know, I've got a pure heart before you. This is not like a moment of me cleansing or ministering my heart in front of you in public. I mean it. With a pure heart, it concerns me that in church world, we have created a culture somehow that says you get to come and consume and be entertained. And if you don't like it, you get to have an opinion while not putting your hands to the plow. So you get to go to the person that's digging and sweating and pouring in, and you get to stand back and you have no calluses on your hands and you go, you're digging that wrong. You missed a spot. Hear me on this day. Hear me on this day. Sunday, June 23rd, 2024. It will not be so of us.
Amen. Amen.
God wants our heart. Yes. He wants our head. And he wants our hands.
That's right.
And church, it is time for our hands to go to the plow.
Yes.
And if you didn't know, oh man, I wish I had more time. If you didn't know, all authority has been given to Christ.
Yes.
And he now says, go.
Yep.
Based on all the authority I've got, Christ says,
yes.
Go.
Yep.
Not sit. Not consume.
Right.
Not watch. Not critique.
Yeah.
Not just. No, no. Go.
Yes.
Yep.
That's right.
If you don't believe me, Matthew 28:18 says it this way. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We did it today, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I ain't going to leave you alone. I'm with you always until the end of the age. This feels like a good spot to begin to wrap up about 5 more pages of notes that I've got. So, Sophia, come on up, otherwise I'll never end. Here's what I want to tell you today. If he's going to have your heart, if he's going to have your head, if he's going to have your hands, church, look at me. Go and build people. Go and take his presence everywhere you go. Go and be an ambassador everywhere you go. Go and put your hands to the plow. Now listen to me. What I'm about to say is not contradictory. It's a balance. I believe we've built in the church world in 2024 a culture that says, come and see, which there's a part of that that's good. We want people to come and see. But once they've come and seen, you know what I want to build? A church that says, go and build. I don't just want you to come and see. I don't want people to just, in fact, I would say I don't think God's heart is for his people to just come and see. Like, come, we'll see what happens today. We'll see if these testimonies have any kind of impact. We'll see what kind of songs they sing. We'll see if they ask me to serve. We'll come and see. Yes, there's a come and see, but I think we've sold God's move a little short by leaving it at just come and see. Because there's a come and see, and then, my friend, there's a go and build. Why is this? Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. It says that for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Look at this. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Today, I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I also want to warn you that as we build, let us not lose sight of who our hearts belong to. Let us not be a people that are so caught up in everything else that this world has to offer that our head, our thoughts, our mind are not submitted to his authority. And that, my friend, that instead of sitting around and talking about it, that we actually go and do it. And some of you might be asking, Tony, you're saying a lot of things. What are we doing? I'm so excited next week. We're gonna continue this series. And we're gonna talk about how we're going to, as a church, build 3 things. I'm gonna give you a preview right now. We're learning to build altars in our heart. I've said this to you before. I wanna say it to you again. We're learning to build altars in our homes. And we're learning to build altars in the house of God. And I don't know how long that series is going to go on or continue to go on for, but I believe God has a prophetic message for our church. And I think we're in a season right now where it's really sweet, where there's a lot of momentum, where there's a lot of excitement. But in that, we've got to know what we're shooting at. We got to know what we're trying to build here. We got to know, okay, God, why did you put us? Like it's been asked for 82 years now, why did you put us on the corner of Meridian and Elm? Why are we here? What are we building? Bottom line, God wants our heart, he wants our head, and he wants our hands. Is it okay if we wrap up with a prayer this morning? Father, I thank you so much for every person that's in this room today. I thank you, Lord, for the people that we celebrated this morning and the new life that is being found in Christ. I thank you, God, because you don't just sit up there on your throne and kind of look down to us. But you're the kind of God that's actually near to us and you're close to us. You're so close that you actually would send your son to like hang with us for 33 years and inevitably give up his life for those of us that did not deserve it. Father, I pray that as we study, as we receive your word, as we look at what you're saying to our church in this season about building, I pray that those that maybe have been lying dormant would be awakened. I pray that those that might feel like, man, they're a little out of strength, a little out of gas, God, would you come with your spirit and just blow a fresh wind upon their spirit and their life? Those that might feel like they're a little stuck to go, okay, this is exciting to build and all, but I feel like I'm kind of stuck to it. I can barely move. Father, that you would come and you would supernaturally cause the things that need to be moved out of the way to be moved out of the way. Lord God, and whatever has held us back from going all in, God, we want to empty ourselves of that this morning, even now. So I pray for these people, and I pray, God, that as we move even to a moment right now of reflection, Lord God, whether that's prayer or whether that's just sitting with you for a while, God, that you would speak to us, and God, you would give us, Lord, actionable steps to move forward that would please you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, today we're ending a little bit different. This is what we're going to do. We don't have communion today, but we never want to not give you an opportunity if you're here to give your life to Jesus. So if you're in the room and you've never given your life to the Lord, and maybe you don't even know what that looks like, or you want to know what that looks like, or perhaps you've done that before and you've walked away and now you want to come back, we're going to let you at any time here over the next few minutes head on back to the cross. We've got two people there that can pray with you, talk to you, answer questions, and walk you through that. We've got an elder that's headed back there as well. The other thing, too, that we always want to make sure you have is an opportunity to get prayed for. So as I dismiss this service, we're going to keep the sanctuary kind of a quiet, reverent place so you guys can take kind of the fun and the talking and all that out in the lobby and stuff. Because if people need prayer, you can go ahead and head over to the back there to the cross where we've got a prayer team for you and an elder there to lay hands on you. So service is over. Church is not over. Get out there and be the church. Love you all. If you're going to hang out for second service, do so, but let's give priority to this seating area for people that are getting baptized, okay? Love you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. See you soon.
Thank you once again for joining us today. We hope today's message encouraged you, challenged you, and caused your faith to grow. If you enjoyed today's message, we highly encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. That way you don't miss out on any future messages. To get to know us, to get connected with us, and to know how you can best partner with us, head to our website, legacychurchid.com, or come see us in person at our campus in Meridian, Idaho. We look forward to connecting with you. May God bless you and have a great rest of your day.